for our lesson, as I have done before in the past, I was struggling trying to decide what I wanted to talk about as I had an open topic. Normally, when I have an open topic, I struggle with coming up with things to actually speak about. I kind of had the opposite this time. I had three ideas I wanted to speak about, and I've kind of been thinking about them for the past month, but I couldn't narrow them down as to which one I wanted to do. If I were to pick exactly one of them, it probably would have been a few minutes long, so I didn't want to do that, but I had the genius idea to combine them all. And so, there are three simple lessons and messages that are in the Bible. They're not overly complex, but they are simple lessons, and I've had, I don't want to say things happen in my life, but there are things that I have seen in my life the past month or two that really remind me of these lessons, so that's where I got the inspiration to do these three lessons. And so, for tonight, I thought we could look at these three simple lessons in the Bible and how they can still apply to our lives today. But for our first lesson, the reading for this lesson, it's going to kind of bounce from book to book, but the very first scripture I have is John chapter 16. So, in John chapter 16, starting in verse 27, let me skip right there, yeah. John 16, verses 27. The Bible reads, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God." Another scripture in the Bible that gives a very similar passage, and it's probably one of the most well-known scriptures out there, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, the correlation between these two different scriptures in the Bible, if you haven't already figured out, is about love. More specifically, God's love. God's love is the greatest love that there ever will be. There is no greater love in this world than the love that God has for his children. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible even tells us that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. He loves all of us. He loves all of his children. And it's the greatest love story there ever was. Now, the inspiration, the idea for this very simple message and lesson, but it's an important one, but the inspiration for this little lesson came from something I saw online. Now, there's been kind of a trend going around where people will just go into public spaces and they will ask people questions. I mean, these questions can range from anything. I've seen where they will get like two guys and they'll quiz them over football questions and they'll just see how many they can get right in a 30-second timer. I've seen some people where they will go to protests or rallies, whatever, and they'll ask them different political questions. They'll kind of debate with people. But there is a kind of trend going on where people will go out in public and ask people questions. And now I watched a video, and they were asking the question, they were just asking random people the question, "What is your favorite love story?" Now, there were several different answers to this question. So I'm not sure, some people said Romeo and Juliet. You know, you took high school English in U.S., you probably studied or had a segment over Romeo and Juliet. I'm sure there were some, like, Disney princess love stories, Cinderella and Prince Charming, I think was the prince in that movie, but there's lots of different examples that you could give for this question, what is your favorite love story? Now, there was one person who I really loved their response, and I'm just going to read to you their response. So they were asked the question, "What's your favorite love story?" Their response was, "My favorite love story has to be about a man who loved the world so much. It wasn't even promised that this world would love him back. He took the weight of the sins of this world on his back, and he died on the cross for their sins so that they could be forgiven. These people beat him, and they tortured him. And on one of his last, final breaths, he prayed to God and asked that to forgive these people because they didn't know what they were doing." And now when I heard that, I thought that was great. I thought he couldn't have given a better answer to that question, because he's right, that the greatest love story ever told was the story of God's love for his children and the story of Jesus' love for us as well. We read earlier in 1 John chapter 4, we read verses 7 and 8. I want to skip down to verses 9 and 10. Starting in verse 9 in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible reads, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God loves us all, and he loved us so much that he sent his only Son down here to live amongst us and to eventually give his life for the atonement of our sins. There is no greater example of God's love. Or there is no greater example of love than God's love. So, with that out of the way, we can move on to our second little message, or little lesson that we can learn from the Bible. And the scripture for this message is in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 5, the Bible reads, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." And I want to focus on the very first sentence of this little verse. Every word of God is pure. Everything in the Bible that we read is from God. It is pure. It is truth. There are tons of different verses in the Bible that remind us this, that tell us this. But everything in the Bible, the gospel, the good news, whatever you want to refer to it as, everything in that book is true and it is pure. Now I have several verses listed up here. I just handpicked a couple of them. I'm going to read through three of them, but I mean, there are countless verses in that you could go to in the Bible that talk about how God's word is the true word. So I want to read the first one, Psalms chapter 119, verses 160. The Bible reads, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." The entirety of your word is truth. Going back to our list of verses, reading John 17, verses 17. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Finally, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The writings of God in the Bible are truth, plain and simple. Now this inspiration for this little lesson actually comes from a billboard I keep seeing on my way home from work. I'm sure some of you might have seen it. There's a billboard on Knickerbocker, and I made sure to read it whenever I was coming home today. The billboard said, "God settles it," and it says, "I agree," but it has that "I agree" part marked out. So if the whole billboard says, "God said it, that settles it." And I thought that was great. God said something, and that's the way it is. That's the truth. That is true. As people, we all have our own opinions about different things. Some people might agree with your opinions and disagree with others. Some people might agree with part of it and disagree with other parts of it. But we all have our own opinions about things, and we can all disagree and disagree on basically everything. But there is no disagreeing with God's word. God said something, and that settles it. That's the truth. And I thought that was a pretty good billboard. I like that. And I see it all the time whenever I drive home, so that kind of sparked a little inspiration in my brain. There is no disagreeing with God. God's word is truth. There's no other way around it. And so, finally, moving on to our last little lesson that we have learned. This one is not as positive as the other two. Throughout the Bible, there were countless examples of times when God was mocked, when Jesus was mocked. Throughout his time here spent on earth, Jesus was mocked countless times. Last month when I spoke about the thieves on the cross. And as we remember from the story, one of these thieves mocked Jesus. He said, "You know, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are who you say you are, if you're so high-minded and so powerful, why don't you just save yourself? If you say you're the Son of God, you can easily save yourself. Why don't you just do it?" He was mocking him. And that's not the only time Jesus was mocked in his life, and not the only time in the Bible that God was mocked either. But the Bible tells us about God being mocked in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And I think that's pretty simple. God is not going to be mocked. He is not going to be mocked. And now the kind of inspiration for this little lesson. I don't know if any of you have kind of heard what's going on in Brazil. Every year, they have a celebration. I looked it up. I saw it called simply the Carnival. Other people called it the Brazilian Carnival, Carnival in Brazil, whatever it might be. But there is always an annual celebration every year around the end of February, beginning of March. It's supposed to be around Ash Wednesday, the Catholic holiday. But anyways, it is a huge celebration. They've got parades. It's in Brazil, so there's lots of different celebrations going on, and it's apparently I don't know exactly how long the celebration lasts, but I know it's for several days. But anyways, one night during this celebration this year, they were having a parade through the streets of Rio de Janeiro, the capital of Brazil. And this parade kind of seemed like any other parade. There was lots of floats, lots of people dancing, there was music. I mean, it was a celebration. But there was a group of people who kind of did something a little different. They were seen as kind of obscene in this celebration because there was a group of people who were basically celebrating the devil, to put it plain and simple. They had a parade that was kind of dressed as the worldly likeness that we have of the devil. You know, the red and black colors. They had the horns coming out the side of his head, the pitchfork with the spiked tail. They were basically celebrating the devil, and there was just a small group of people that were partaking in this event. And a lot of the ongoers and the viewers who were watching this celebration said it was a very obscene scene. It was very disturbing, and that they wanted to immediately boycott these people, this group, from the parade. But no matter the situation, there were people celebrating the devil, and by doing that, they were mocking God. It was pretty blatantly obvious. There was I didn't show any pictures because it was one of those things where, you know, there's some parental warnings on images. You know, you see parental warnings. If you have young children, don't let them see this image. I felt that these images kind of deserved a warning, not because they were graphic or gore or anything. It was just very unsettling and very disturbing images to see just the actions that these people were partaking in. But and two of these people in this group, one of them was supposed to be dressed as Jesus, and he was kind of being dragged by this man that was supposed to be dressed as the devil. Just very disturbing and unsettling things. But this took place. They were blatantly mocking God and celebrating the devil. But as we know, the Bible says God will not be mocked. And I don't know the exact time frame, but this happened, the celebration this year, this event occurred, and I believe within hours, because I think it was the next day, Brazil was hit with a torrential downpour of rain, which caused flooding and caused landslides, and it affected tons of people in several cities, major cities in Brazil. Now, was this pure coincidence that I believe mere hours after this celebration of the devil and mocking of God that there was flooding and landslides in Brazil? I mean, it's possible. I don't know. Was this retaliation from God? I don't know. It's possible. I don't know. But what I do know is that God has the power to do whatever he likes. And I also know that, according to Galatians chapter 6, the Bible tells us that God will not be mocked. God does not want to be mocked. So, take that with a grain of salt. I'm not saying anything happened. I'm not saying anything didn't happen. But what I do know is the Bible tells us that God will not be mocked. And I think that is a very important lesson to remember in our lives. And I think the other two lessons that are equally as important to remember that God's love is the greatest love there is. There is no greater love than God's love. And that the book we read from, the Bible, the book we base our whole religion off of, that book is truth. Every word in there is truth. And that's very comforting to know that, those first two lessons. And I think the third one is just a good thing to remember, to not learn from the mistakes of other people, basically. But anyways, that's all I have for this evening. Hopefully something I said was beneficial, but now we can stand and sing the song of invitation.